From NPR News, this is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. 40 years ago today, a riot erupted in Newark, New Jersey. It started after rumors spread that a black cab driver had been killed by police. Racial tensions were already running high between the city's residents, and what actually happened that night depends on who you ask. What's for sure is that the violence lasted for 5 long days in 1967. Rioters looted stores and set dozens of buildings ablaze. In the end, 26 people died and hundreds more were hurt. The city learned some hard lessons, and to this day, the healing continues. Junius Williams worked for several civil rights groups at the time. Today, he's director of the Abbott Leadership Institute at Rutgers University. Also with us is Max Herman, an associate professor of sociology, also at Rutgers. He's the chief oral historian at the New Jersey Historical Society. And welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Hello.
So, Junius, let me start with you. Tell me what happened the night of July 12th, 1967.
For me, I was coming back from Philadelphia, and I had heard that the cab driver had been beaten. And so we speeded up on the New Jersey Turnpike, and we also heard that the city was closed. But that did not deter us, since we knew how to get into the city. And so I did. The night of July 12th was relatively uneventful for me. However, my friends who were there told me that the incident that broke the camel's back, if you will, was the fact that the cops had beaten a cab driver, and then they dragged him out of the police car and into the 4th Precinct. This was in front of hundreds of people who were out on a usual hot July night in front of Hayes Homes, a gigantic housing project which has since been leveled, and the people just would not allow this to take place.
Junius, I can't help but think of Rodney King and what happened in L.A. afterwards. What so often happens, though, is that when you have people who are understandably furious at injustice, their own communities are the ones that go up in flames. Tell me about that aspect of what happened.
I would hate to think that we would only think about the fact that the rebellion took riotous proportions. The whole situation occurred because you had a recalcitrant, racist administration and other aspects of the American way, which were weighing down upon people. And the people were in resistance through a lot of different kinds of organizations. So instead of the power structures just saying, we yield, we recognize that you don't have good houses, we recognize that urban renewal has come once too often, making people move 2 and 3 times a year. We recognize that the police are brutal because otherwise beating up cops was just regular sport for police. We recognize all these things and we're going to make some changes. Instead, they didn't, and the people resisted, and that's what happened in America, and not just in Newark, but in several places.
Max,
I might jump in for a moment.
Yeah, let me just ask you, as you jump in, about the terms rebellion and resistance versus riot. How do you come down on that?
Well, again, I think it's a matter of perspective. It depends on who you talk to. Over the last 5 years, I've interviewed nearly 75 people here in Newark and in Detroit, together over 100 people. Depending on what your ideological position is, you're going to use different terms. Those who are members in a political activist community will typically refer to the events as rebellions, whereas those who are merchants, store owners, former residents, mostly white, will refer to them as riots. I think that it's a little bit of both. In fact, to cite my friend and colleague Junius here, this is a very complex event, and there are efforts to simplify it by putting one label or another on it. But the fact of the matter is that there were some people that were out there protesting, and for them it was a rebellion. They had legitimate grievances, which they were expressing. There were others that did not have that kind of political background and were simply out there engaged in effort to get things that they could not ordinarily get by so-called legitimate means.
You're talking about TVs coming out of broken store windows and those images that stick with us from many different places across the country at many different times.
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about kids who, for example, one gentleman I interviewed went into a candy store. He was 12 years old. He grabbed some candies and sodas, and he dug a little hole in his backyard, and he buried it in the backyard. Unfortunately, later that evening, he was shot by the police, and he ended up in the hospital, had a bullet lodged near his heart, came out of the hospital about a week later, and he was upset because his mom had given his candy and soda away. So he did not have a political motive per se, but I don't want to discount the fact that there were many people that did have a political motive. Now, when I speak with a merchant family and I say, well, you know, I use the word rebellion, they say, what are you talking about? Rebellions are when you take on the power structure. And we were the little guys. You know, I just had a fish market or a candy store. That's not a rebellion. If I use the word riot with activists, I get the exact opposite. How dare you call it a riot? Because that strips it of its political meaning.
Junius, if we can't disagree on the language of the past, how can we rebuild in the present and the future?
Well, let me just say first that even to the credit of the people who were there, the leadership who were at the spot on that particular moment in front of the police station, they were trying to convert this into a nonviolent protest. Some people even put up a little picket line. Others were trying to bring people downtown using the taxi drivers to take them downtown for a protest. It was at all times a political moment. It wasn't something anybody wanted. I certainly didn't want a riot, but it was certain. Let's recognize it for what it was. Even that little boy was part of a process that started beyond his means of possibly understanding at that time, and perhaps he doesn't understand it now. But that's what happens when the situation takes a life of its own.
I do want to return to the present, though. The city went through a period of what is commonly called white flight. There have been all sorts of attempts for different political factions to take control of the city. Junius, where do you think things are now?
We have riots in the street every night. Why? Because of two things, and I'm going to focus on one. I call it the Empire Struck Back. Out of the movement for the 60s, our political protest was absorbed. The symbols were absorbed, such as the Afro hairdo. Our leaders and our history was distorted, such as looking at Martin Luther King as the man of quote-unquote peace and love. As a result, we don't have a civil rights movement or any kind of movement for change that really amounts to anything in these cities. Therefore, the young people who are in rebellion form gangs. And they form gangs because of some of the same reasons people formed SNCC and CORE and the NAACP long time ago. The only thing is their activity has been channeled away from politics and into something they call turf. Therefore, you
But
have
Junius,
the,
to a lot of people, that sounds like a cop-out. To compare gangs to civil rights leaders, to many, sounds insulting.
Well, there is no doubt in my mind that the young men who are in the Bloods and the Crips today would have been in the Black Panthers or SNCC 40 years ago. Listen to what they say when they talk to us. Mm. They say, give us an alternative and we'll do something different. But in the meantime, this is what we have to deal with. Walk a mile in our shoes and you see where we are.
Max, you're doing...
I agree in part with Junius and I disagree in part with Junius on this. I agree that the youth do not have a viable alternative at the moment, that we're talking about a whole generation of young Black men who are dispossessed and isolated from the mainstream economy. I do not see the gang activity as rebellion per se, because unfortunately, if it is rebellion, the rebellion is focused internally, and the killing is going on between groups within the community. And not to
Absolutely
be
right.
too conspiratorial here, but perhaps that's how the powers that be want it.
Absolutely right. That is what I'm saying has happened. People don't understand if people don't understand their history, then they don't understand the present, and therefore the future is determined by what has been misperceived.
Gentlemen, we've only got a couple minutes left. Very briefly, Max and then Junius, What is Newark trying to build on today? What kind of successes has Newark had today?
Well, I'm going to paraphrase John Edwards, who's been on the campaign trail talking about two Americas. I think what we have right now, we have two Newarks. We have a downtown that is improving. It's safe. It's clean. Certainly doesn't fit the stereotype of decay and disorder. Young people are coming downtown, spending money at restaurants. They're moving into luxury apartments. On the other hand, there are many sections of Newark that are still in despair and have not been rebuilt since the days of the 1960s. As I said, there's an entire generation of youth that is not participating in the process, and the space and opportunity hasn't been made for them to participate in the political process. The other major thing that's changing is the growth of the Latino population, which poses challenges to the nature of race relations in the city as well.
Got to get Junius very briefly.
I would agree with that. I would say that without political organization and education, people are being misdirected in their protests, and that's what's happening with respect to the gangs. It's also driven a wedge between the old and the young, because the old people say, hey, what are you doing? The young people are saying, well, hey, what are you doing? So it's a process that we have to go through, and hopefully our leadership will understand that this is a question of education and not a police question solely. What we
Junius,
have to do is
we're
to
gonna
try
have
to turn
to end
some
here.
Of this around.
Junius Williams, Max Herman, thank you both so much.
All right.
You're quite welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Junius Williams is director of the Abbott Leadership Institute at Rutgers University, and Max Herman is an associate professor of sociology at Rutgers and the chief oral historian at the New Jersey Historical Society. Both spoke with us from member station WBGO in Newark.